The scripture reading this morning will be coming from Proverbs chapter 24, verse 30. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 30. I went by the field of the lazy man, and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding.
Thank you, Jacob. I think this to be a proper topic to speak on this morning. As Charlie just said, and David said the Wednesday night or last Sunday one, talking about the endeavors that we have coming up. I was up in, here and talked to Sister Pam Bryant yesterday, and I always feel comfortable. I think everybody does, feels real comfortable with how things are going as far as the teachers decorating their rooms and all the creative things that we'll be seeing next Sunday. But I wanted to say at least one more time, as Charlie just said, we can have the greatest looking VBS that we've ever had, but if we don't have the people here, then it will just be a vacation Bible school. All of us, I say all, the majority of us have children. Some of us have grandchildren. There may be some that has great-grandchildren. We have family. We have neighbors. We have people that we work for. We all need to get involved with this, encourage our young people to invite all their friends. And it's our subject theme for this year's VBS is from the Old Testament. So it's not like something coming from the New Testament that somebody from outside the church think that we might be trying to get somebody thinking a different way. This VBS is not so much about conversion as it is to how to handle those things that young and old alike encounter from day to day. So please, all you young people down here in the front and to my right, ask family members, ask your friends, ask your neighbors. And then, a short time later, maybe even be the next week, I don't know. Family and Friend Day is the very next week. So that's the way we do things here. We just pile on. But especially our family, let's make sure we get them here. Tim has a goal set, 175, something like that, I believe. I can't remember. But let's be ready for that as well. Proverbs, the 24th chapter. Jacob just read the first verse. I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of a man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles and covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw, and I considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and they want as armed men. Now, if you're one of those that may be accused of being lazy, you might not like this lesson. If you're one of those that are accused of procrastinating, then you may not enjoy this lesson either. But it's from God's word. But this man, no other way to put it, but this lazy man, we're going to look at him two or three different ways. We're going to look at him in his garden, but we're going to carry that a little bit further to where it speaks to all of us. Now, this slothful man did not hurt his fellow man. He was not a thief. He was not a ruffian. He was not a meddler in anybody else's business. He had not the trouble about anybody else's concern because he had a little concern for himself. If you just look at this and read it for its face value, you may say, well, he was not a bad man. But let me remind you that there's nothing worse in the world than a man who has in his life no good. For in some respects, and listen to this, in some respects, he is not good enough to be bad. He is not good enough to be bad. This was a man that was happy with the way things was. He was content to sleep. Now, I know that we have people, and I have people tell me that they're morning people. They like to get up early in the morning and enjoy the day. I don't want to lay in bed all day, but some days I wish I could lay in bed 7 or so in the morning. But this man, he was content in the way things were. And the way that things were was a terrible sight to see. Why was the farm, the garden, or the field such a failure? I think we can safely say that it was not due to the soil. Because it produced weeds, thorns, and thistles. It was not a failure because of intruders. Those little varmints that get in your garden, your rabbits and your deers and birds that will pluck up the plant just as it sprouts above the ground. And it was not a failure because the man planned to fail. Few people start out planning to fail. It's usually that somebody will have good intentions, but their resolve is not strong enough to follow through on it. So it was not that he planned to fail. And there are some ways that we need to look at that as to how neglect can destroy things. Our lesson today is about neglect. It obviously in our scripture here, neglect destroys garden, fields, and farms, vineyards. I know those of us that travel, and I for the longest time I used to take pictures of old barns. There's a giant sized book, Barns of America. And the barns will stand usually longer than the houses will. Because I was born on a farm, raised on a farm. And if there was a leak at the house or a problem at the barn, you guess what got fixed first. The problem at the barn got fixed before the problem at the house did. But it always amazed me to look maybe at an ivy-covered barn. And the people, perhaps more than likely, that built those places have gone on. And maybe the ones that they left had no interest in it. But it destroys gardens, destroys farms, but it also destroys families. Neglect destroys marriages. Neglect destroys our children. It destroys businesses. You've seen businesses change from one hand to another, and the way it was run before, it was doing good. Then the fellow that came in behind the other one didn't fare hardly as good. Maybe their intentions was good, maybe they had a plan, but oftentimes people will buy a piece of property or a business thinking it will continue just like it was. But you got to take into consideration the resolve that person had in that company. And perhaps had been with it for years and years and years. Based it on certain fundamental truths. And that does not mean that the next person that buys that business will do the same. But neglect will destroy lots of things. Laziness has its impact on industry. Listen to Monty Paul in Sunday school this morning. Neglect has its impact on government. I'm not going to get into politics, as that has gotten me in trouble before. But a lot of these things that is being forced upon us by the government, it's just an awful and a terrible thing. The transgender restroom. Government has no place, no authority to let a man go into a facility where my wife, my daughter, or my granddaughter is. Government has no place in that. Neglect can have an impact on churches. David was talking about church growth this morning in class. as late as 2014, we would look up and we'd be 120 people plus here. And I know that some have gone on to college and some has to work, and that's a cycle that we go through. But it's something we must give some thought to, is how neglect impacts the church. We need to realize that work is not a curse. It is not to be thought of as something burdensome. I had some scriptures marked, 2 Thessalonians 3:10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded, that if any of you would not work, neither shall he eat. There's another one. 1 Timothy 5:8. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. If for no other reasons than those two right there, it should change our way of looking at how we should go about taking care of our own things. You know, not to be judgmental, it's just the way that it's always been, from my grandparents to my parents to us. I guess it's going to sound terrible, and I apologize for it, but sometimes your yard will become cluttered, your carport, garage will become cluttered. You may have a building, and us guys know that when you unlatch that door, take off running, because there's going to be something going to fall out of it. Every place that we've got that we can put something, we just keep on putting it in there. And somebody will say, it's usually the spouse, it's beginning to look like old so-and-so's place around here. And it should not be so, because what has happened to me is, I got so much stuff scattered around. Somebody comes, I got to clean up this room, so I throw everything in that room. So then I got to get ready for my work week, so I have to take everything out of this room, just throw it in this room. And I lose lots of things. I'm still searching to this day for my glasses. And we shouldn't let our places, our homes, our yards, our buildings get in such a place that it is. But our scripture tells us that this lazy man was devoid of understanding. He did not understand the concept of sowing and reaping. And perhaps it was because he was overly optimistic. Good will come from it. Surely a few seeds will come up voluntarily from last year. That's being optimistic. Surely some good will come from it. I know it, I look out across this crowd here. I'm looking at two farmers right back yonder. I'm looking at a gardener right there. I'm looking at a farmer over there. Fellow right there in that light blue shirt used to be a farmer. We can't just hope that things will come up and we'll have a harvest. First thing we got to do, we got to prepare the ground. And we can get it in the best shape in the world. But if we don't plant the seed, we're not going to have any crop. But if we till it, we get it ready for planting, we plant the seed, it starts coming up, there's still some work to be done. Back in my day, we had what we call cultivators. I don't know if anybody even uses cultivators anymore. But I was no stranger to a hoe. My daddy could not stand Johnson grass out in the field. He just couldn't stand it. But you can't be too optimistic. You think just, well, something's going to come up with very little effort on my part. And it could have been that this lazy man was overly pessimistic. Then it won't do any good. Won't do any good. You know, it's easy to talk yourself out of doing some things. It's easy. Talking to Terry there a while ago. He said he's wore out, and I said, I am too. But we keep on going. But I found as the older I get, it's easier for me to talk myself out of something. I could do this 20 years ago. But I'm in my 60s now, and I don't think I can do it. So somebody needs to help me do it or do it for me. But it becomes easier and easier and easier to talk ourselves out of what is needed to be done. It could be that this lazy man, this slothful man, had no goal. He failed to recognize the value to be gained. Maybe he was not aware or forgot that it is our responsibility to make the best of what is put in our trust. You recall the parable of the talents. How the landowner was leaving and be gone to a great distant land for a while. And he gave to his servants a certain amount of talents. A couple of them did well with them and made money off of them. But that one that was given one, he was afraid that he might invest unwisely. So he thought that he would be doing good just to be able to give that one talent back to the landowner. So he dug a hole and he buried it. Came back. The other ones had increased what he had given them, but that one only gave back what he had. And you probably remember the consequences of that. You know, it's always been said, for anyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of this they will ask the more. What you do not have and cannot gain is not your responsibility. What you cannot do is not your responsibility. But there are things that we all do have. And that's opportunities and abilities of some kind. There's great potential in this garden, this field, this vineyard. Great potential in it. I've always been the kind of fella that if anything that once was, it can be again. Now sometimes that means that you have to go back and mend some fences. Maybe you need to go back to troubled relationships. Mend those fences. But I firmly believe that anything it once was can be again. This man could not say that he failed because he had no garden, because he did. He could not say the soil's no good. He cannot say that, because weeds and thistles and thorns grew on it. He cannot say that God did not send the rain and sunshine that was needed for the field, the garden, the farm, because the weeds and the thistles and the thorns grew, and they also take, they have to have sunshine and they have to have rain. This man failed because he exerted no effort at all. He pretty much slept his life away. And that is what we must think about this morning. Is exerting the effort that is required to do a thing. He did not fail because he could not. This slothful man failed because he would not. And God has given every single one of us potential. We have to seek out all the opportunities that we can, because we all have some gift. Now, obviously, mine is not that of a song leader. One of my gifts is not being able to stand up before people and preach. But I do have the gift of being able to impact somebody for good. And I think every single one of us has that same gift. Now, compared to all the things that others may have, that might sound kind of puny. But as we go on this VBS, and we go on this Family and Friend Day, if everybody in here would just get one person, you young people, just get one person, just get one person, whether it be a classmate, whether it be a boyfriend or a girlfriend, or girlfriend or boyfriend, family member. If we could just get one, every one of us get one for VBS and for our Family and Friend Day. Because we don't want to look back in July and say to ourselves, we failed. And the reason that we failed was not because we could not, but because we would not. This man raised no crop, therefore he made no real contribution in life. He did raise something, thorns and nettles, which makes it a whole lot harder for other people. His soul was destroyed because he was lacking sense. And what about our potential? Those small gifts that we have to encourage people. Look in the eyes of those that may be going through some trials in life. And maybe all they need is just a handshake, a hug, chest bump. Mean all the difference in the world. Just a compliment. You look good in that dress today. Like the way you're wearing your hair. Just words of good cheer can mean so much. God expects us to be busy. Number one, to provide for our own. Number two is to make the church grow. Last Wednesday night, we talked about what our top priority should be. We all agreed that going to heaven should be our top priority. Priority number two, if that is indeed our priority, getting to heaven, then we're going to find out that our relationship with our spouses, relationships with our family, with those we work with, are going to improve. And number three, even though we want to go to heaven, we don't want to go alone. We want to care as many as we possibly can. So God expects us to be about our work. And we must understand that neglect is an adversary to us. And it could be that we find our souls, our spirit, we'll find them in the same condition we'll find our outbuildings in. You've seen houses. Every one of you seen houses. Just nobody in it for really a short period of time. And it's a mystery to me how it goes down that quick. I mean, it will absolutely fall down when there's nobody there. We cannot allow that to happen to our souls. All of us want to succeed. All of us want the church to grow. All of us want to see our spiritual soul grow. And it can. But we will not find that on the clearance rack. We cannot find it on the clearance rack because it requires effort. I went somewhere the other day, I think it's up around Hohenwald, and I say it every time, combine sitting out in the field. And it's been there for years and years and years. When they go to plant, they just plant around that combine. If we neglect a piece of machinery, it'll fall apart. If we neglect a marriage, it will fall apart. Right here in Proverbs, you'll look at 29 and 15. And the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. So neglect can affect our children. It can affect every aspect of our life, and one aspect of our life can be very telling on the day of judgment. We find ourselves there, and somebody asked me, why did you not tell me? Why did you not warn me? Why did you not tell me about Jesus? It's going to be something that's going to be dreadful to hear. So, with our daily lives, with the efforts that we have coming up, if it takes me standing here and begging, I will beg that everybody work towards this and get as many people here as we can. Because you just don't know how that we may impact a great multitude from just getting that certain one. Stories and stories about preachers that was invited to go to a vacation Bible school or to a gospel meeting, and how they became great preachers that baptized thousands. So please, I beg of you, give this lesson some thought. Take care of your own soul, those around you. And let's not neglect what it is to put before us. But let's resolve this very day to do all that we can to help ourselves, our family, those about us, and help the church grow. Perhaps there's someone here this morning who's never been baptized. Maybe you've been doing some study with someone, and you decided that you now realize you must put Christ on in baptism. Maybe you hadn't got that far yet, but you'd like a Bible study with somebody. We can do that. Maybe there's somebody here today that have neglected things in their Christian lives. It's not good enough to just do good. Better, but our best is better than good or better. So for something, you must get straightened out in life. If you need prayer, just let us know. And if there's anything we can do for anybody, we ask that you come forward as we stand and as we sing.